Welcome to episode 32 of Two Larrys and a Mike. I'm Larry Dowdy.
I'm Larry Bly.
And Mike.
Where's Mike? Has he become a woman? No. Oh, I know what's going on. Well, you know, Mike won that big finals bingo game down at the Moose Lodge the other night.
Yeah.
And he gets an all-expense-paid trip to Paris.
Oh?
Unfortunately, well, he just found out it's a trip to Paris, Virginia. With an overnight stay at the Motel 6 in nearby Short Pump, Virginia. Meals included at that famous French place, Le Cracker Barrel. Not quite what he was hoping for, but you know, that's... Beggars can't be choosers.
I love that. Well, have fun, Mike. You know, what can I say? It's the holiday season, and it's going to be all decorated.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have an Eiffel Tower there?
No, I'm not really sure. No, they have a tower of... I don't know what they have. I can't even come up with a line. I don't know why I started.
Well, I was going to say we'd have to go and check it out for him, but no, thank you. Yeah. Well,
no, I think they have a white tower. That's what I was going for. White tower.
Well, we're going to tackle the keyboards this time around.
Really? We're going to tinkle on the keys?
Tickle the keys. We're going to get to that. But first, I believe we need to check out A Time for Living and see who's celebrated a birthday recently.
Okay, singer Gordon Lightfoot, one of my favorite singers in the world, is 83 years old and looks every day of it. Singer-songwriter Bob Guadio of the Four Seasons is 80. That's hard to believe.
Chuck Mangione is 81.
My gosh.
Bruce Chanel. Hey, baby. 81. Randy Newman turning 78. Paul Schaefer.
And by the way, he was a great keyboardist, too. Randy Newman. Well, both of them. Remember Short People? It was all done on a piano. That's how he writes his songs.
I love his stuff. Paul Schaefer, 72. Of course, you remember him from the David Letterman show.
Mm-hmm. Singer Norman Greenbaum is 79. What did more Norman do? He did
Spirit in the Sky.
Yep. Right. Did he do Little Green Bag? No, it's somebody else.
No, it's George Baker's
selection. Joe Walsh is 74 years old.
Bette Midler turning 76.
Oh, no.
The fella who's been alone again naturally for so long. I don't know about that. Gilbert O'Sullivan is 75.
Remember his song Claire?
I do.
I thought that was a good song. Yeah, it was a minor hit. Yeah. Singer Jesse Colin Young of the Young Bloods is 80. Guitarist, actor, a little Steven of the E Street Band has just turned 71. I love him.
Wow.
I think he's pretty terrific.
Some great birthdays indeed. Oh, Britney Spears.
Okay.
Never thought she'd be on this podcast, did you? Turning 40.
Should we run some of her music?
No. Let's just move on.
But I thought perhaps we can. Okay.
And I probably shouldn't put this one right behind Britney Spears, but I will. Tina Turner.
Oh, yeah.
82.
I got two more. Keyboardists, while we're talking about keyboardists on this podcast, Lonnie Jordan of War is 73. You'll be hearing some of his work in a little bit on this podcast. And singer Livingston Taylor,
love his stuff. James?
James is his little brother.
Yeah.
71 years old.
And John McVie of Fleetwood Mac, 76. So quite a mess of birthdays.
Happy birthday to you all.
Mm-hmm. So this time around, we're spending time on the keyboards.
Thank you. And boy, there have been a lot of good keyboardists down through the years, and there have been a lot of songs that start out with keyboard work that you just instantly recognize.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
One of the most famous of which, I guess, would have to be Elton John's Benny and the Jets.
Yep.
Because it starts out with that bump, bump, bump. I mean, that's very famous.
Yep. It was a song written by Elton and Bernie, where you can't beat that combination.
Nope.
A song came out in 1974. It was Elton's 1973 album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And that song, Benny and the Jets, which, by the way, you will see the title written two different ways. And if you ever look it up, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But it ranks number 371 on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest songs of all time.
What was that? Benny and the Jets?
Benny and the Jets.
And why is it spelled two different ways?
Well, you've got the A-N-D, and then you've got the...
Ampersand?
Ampersand, yeah.
For heaven's sake.
They couldn't make up their mind, or they were in a hurry. It was a Friday, and, you know, we got to get these songs out today.
Another one of the most interesting and recognizable is the beginning, of course, to Imagine by John Lennon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And John was a great piano player. He really was. He was great. But, you know, so is McCartney. McCartney can play the heck out of a piano.
Boy, he really can.
Yeah. Remember Great Balls of Fire? Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. Now, that's one that just rocked in right at the beginning. We're going to hear a couple of these, I think, later on. Memory is starting to fade. I think that I recall that I have some of that lined up. Okay?
Can't wait.
And what would be keyboards without Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers?
Oh, he's one of the best.
Well, he laid down the tracks, keyboard tracks, to a lot of their big hits. That's for darn sure. I have one in particular I want to mention, and that's... Ray Manzarek, who was the keyboardist for The Doors.
Oh, okay.
He died in 2013, but not before being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And he also was named by USA Today, of course, the musical source. That's one of the best keyboardists ever.
Wow.
Here's how good Ray was when they first made their first couple of albums. Uh-huh. They didn't have a bass player. So he would play the lead piano part with his right hand, and then he had another little device setting up on top of that, looked like a small keyboard, and played the bass line on that at the same time. That's how good he was.
Whoa.
So, yeah, he laid down all their bass tracks in addition to everything else, all at the same time, by the way. That's
show,
amazing.
Show off.
Yeah. Oh, and that's not, and with his feet. Yeah. No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
You mentioned Paul McCartney a couple of minutes ago.
I did.
Did you know that Paul McCartney and Freddie Mercury have something in common?
They're both men.
No.
Oh.
They both recorded on the same piano. Did you know that?
Well, why would that be astounding? I mean, it's probably just a studio piano, right? Probably everybody else used the same darn piano.
Oh, but wait till you hear the songs.
Oh, so there's
Freddie
something here.
Freddie Mercury apparently used the same century-old Bechstein grand piano for Bohemian Rhapsody as Paul McCartney did 7 years earlier for Hey Jude.
No kidding.
Hey Jude.
Well, did that mean they both recorded at EMI?
Actually, they were recorded at Trident Studios.
Like I was saying.
In London's Soho District.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, so that's interesting.
There's your little Paul McCartney factoid.
Here's one of the great, great, great keyboardists, and that would be Rod Argent. Rod Argent, of course, had a group once called Argent. And remember the song was Hold Your Head Up? He also was a keyboardist for the Zombies. And he was also with Colin Blunstone in a group or so. A really terrific
I wasn't
keyboardist.
Aware of that.
Yeah, well, you'll never be able to say that again, Mr. Downey.
Yeah.
Georgie Fame. Remember Georgie Fame? Georgie Fame, and Bonnie and Clyde. Well, he played the organ, and man, he could rock that thing. And he featured it in almost all his songs. It was really good.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, we were talking about the Beatles, probably one of the best openings with a piano was Obla Di Obla Da.
Oh, truly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Donald Fagen.
of
this. This group called Steely Dan. That
little group we love so much.
Yeah. He was a Jersey boy. Not Frankie Valli's Jersey boy, but a Jersey boy who worked on backups. I was not aware of this with Jay and the Americans.
Oh, really?
Donald Fagen. He and Walter Becker founded Steely Dan.
Right.
Awesome keyboards on Asia.
He did the keyboards, and Becker did the fabulous guitar riffs in that group.
Fagen went solo in 1982 on an album called Nightfly. And I don't know if you remember the song. We'll play a little bit of it here. IGY, no. What a Beautiful World. It's just one of my favorites. Now, doesn't compare to anything Steely Dan did, but it was classic Donald Fagen. Sadly, it only made top 30 for him, but I guess it just didn't have that Steely Dan magic.
Do you want to hear a couple of great openings?
I would love to.
And we've already talked about a couple of them, so we may be repeating ourselves a little bit, but that's okay. Okay, let's listen to this. This is, of course, you recognize this. This would be War.
War.
Yeah. Spill the Wine. Dig That Girl.
That's just a great introduction.
You know, it really is. Wonderful thing is also for a disc jockey, you can also do a 30-second spot going into you're reading it live. But I thought this, when it came out, was just the most incredible thing I'd ever heard.
One very hot summer's day, when I thought I'd lay myself down to rest in a big field of tall grass.
Now I feel like I want to hear the rest of it.
I just wanted to give you a good sampling of that.
That was a great
I'm giving
sample.
You a long sampling. Thank you. You and I, of course, love this.
Dance
with me, George. By
Ambrosia.
Ambrosia. Listen to this piano. Work. This is a crazy song.
Until I met you, baby, I only played with the band.
Sounds like it came all vital, doesn't it?
When I play my violin,
I can hear a little needle scratching.
My piano grade.
So here we go. They get into it.
I can't help but think.
This song lasts about, what, 7 or 8 minutes, I believe.
Yes, indeed.
And it just goes crazy in all directions.
You know, listening to that this morning, I was out on my walk. By the way, 3.5 of those, if you listen to it 3.5 times, I can do 2 miles.
So you were getting 2 miles to the song? Or twice, or three times.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
I decided listening to that, number one, it's just an awesome piece.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to wonder, was Ambrosia, I mean, listening to that one song sounds like something should be on, it should be a play, should be on Broadway or something. Or were they trying to go up against Queen?
You know what? That's interesting.
Some of the work that Freddie Mercury and Queen did.
That sounds interesting. I had never thought about that, but you might be right.
Yeah. I don't know, but I mean, they certainly hit that one out of the park.
Here's another one. There you go. This is one of the older ones. This goes back to 1966. This is Double Shot of My Baby's Love. But listen to that organ work. It was also an incredible record because you could come out of a commercial, come out of a jingle.
Yeah.
Heck, you could come out of the bathroom and it would sound great. It was unbelievable with that drum and that organ in there. But they always had some good organ work in their stuff.
Yeah.
One of the first songs ever played on radio. Very exciting.
This was a great song.
Double Shot of My Baby's Love. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I had to go back a little bit, you know. Not all the keyboards are here. Here's a one that
I think I recognize.
You could not possibly not know what this leads into.
That's Smackwater Jack.
Carole King.
Yeah, man.
She does her own piano work. She's a great pianist. Sing it.
Now smack.
Mention the fact this is one great song.
Cause he was in the mood for a little confrontation.
Isn't that great? Wow. Oh, man. No. Don't get any better than that.
Need
I got
more.
A couple of more.
More. That's Neil Sedaka.
Neil Sedaka. Laughter in the Rain. Of course, he is a fabulous keyboardist. Again, he writes all these songs at the keyboard. He's a keyboard man. I got to see him live in Vegas, and he put on a one-man show. Oh, my God. It was incredible. I mean, the man has just done so much, and he started out with Carole King and all those people.
Can't leave out of ELO.
No, this is a great ELO opening. We mentioned it earlier. So anyway, I just thought I would put together a nice sampling of stuff that you just automatically recognize. There you have it.
That's just it, though. There's so many great songs with keyboards. Roundabout by Yes, Lucky Man, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Whiter Shade of Pale.
Hold the Line, Toto.
Yeah.
Roundabout. Man, Was That Great by Yes. That just came right out of the gate.
Oh,
boom.
Yes,
just
yes.
Like that. It was incredible.
Now, one that probably you wouldn't notice, Doobie Brothers, Sweet Maxine.
No,
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Go back and listen.
Okay. All right. I promise you I will just as soon as we get out of here today. I'll go and fire that up on the turntable. Great Balls of Fire, Jerry Lee Lewis. My gosh, does it get any more iconic than that? And I hate that word. Why did I use it? But anyway, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Living in the City, Stevie Wonder. My gosh, Stevie can just tear the dickens out of a keyboard, whether it be at the organ or piano. And that one in particular just comes on strong at the beginning.
Well, we can't leave Layla out.
No, man. Talk about a nice long break. You going to let us hear a little of that?
We'll get to a little bit of that. Mark Cohn, Walking in Memphis. Great song.
Bridge Over Troubled Water, Simon & Garfunkel.
Yep.
Great piano opening on that.
And no, we will not leave out Billy Joel.
Piano man.
Yeah.
Of course.
Leon Russell.
You know, Billy Joel is still tearing it up in Madison Square Garden. Now, he's got a permanent gig going there. I think he's there every single week, I do believe, at least one show. Maybe
man, that's
two.
Good work right there.
Fool Believes, Doobies.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I got a couple of other Lucky Man, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Of course, that was all about the keyboard work. All the way through. A Whiter Shade of Pale. Broke All the Harem.
There is one, though, I think we have left out.
What's that?
And it's one of the best, in my opinion, of the keyboards. Joe Jackson's Steppin' Out.
I would have to go back and listen to that again. I don't know that I recall.
1982, made it at the number 6.
I mean, I remember the song, but I don't quite remember the opening.
You'll love it.
We were talking about Ray Manzarek a while ago. Uh-huh. Of course, Light My Fire by the Doors just starts right out with a great keyboard riff.
Yeah.
Oh, you left good one stuff. Out here. You left one off my list, but I have it because I have a better memory than you, and I almost regaled you with this today.
Okay.
Dave Baby Cortez, Happy Organ. And that's going to go with no further remarks.
Wait a minute. I think I've got one more that can top Dave.
What's that?
Irv Sharp.
Oh, yeah, and his his mighty organ. How about that?
Yeah.
We know Buckingham's also featured an awful lot of keyboard.
That's true.
Especially the organ.
Yeah.
So, and what about Walter Wunderlich? Do you remember Walter Wunderlich? He had a song in 66 called Summer Samba that was a real big hit.
I remember that.
I think that he was from Brazil. I'm pretty certain about that. Oh, and Randy Newman. Mama told me not to come, or especially short people, as we mentioned a while ago. Yeah, man, there's a ton of them. I just can't stop giving them.
So after you listen to this podcast, go searching for some great keyboard songs of your own.
Did we mention Color My World?
No.
Chicago.
No.
Leon Russell, Lady Blue.
Saturday in the Park, Chicago.
Oh, and we've got to talk about Carly Simon. I love me some Carly Simon. The Right Thing to Do, You're So Vain, keeps you running on and on. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Well, I think we've just about, who knows.
So we don't have to do second guessing, right?
Oh, no, that's not true.
Is there any need to have a prize?
Oh, well, of course. Absolutely. We have to have a prize.
Okay.
I mean, what fun would it be if you didn't have a prize? You know how right now everybody's watching Get Back and 8 Days a Week? Those two shows about the Beatles. Mm-hmm. One's a Ron Howard production. I forget who did the other or is doing the other. Getting mixed reviews, but mostly good because both of these guys managed to go out and pull out some really great footage and stuff from the studio.
Sure.
We hadn't seen or heard before. So anyway, I thought that perhaps this wonderful tribute album of Beatles tunes, as sung by other people, might be in order.
Oh.
Michel, my bad. These are words that go together well.
Xavier Hollander, by the way, laying down the track on that one. You're going to love the next one because it just don't get no better than this.
There will be an answer. Let it be.
Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
This is from an album, by the way, a real album called Golden Throat. You probably remember it. Years ago.
Let it be.
That's a shame that wasn't a big hit for old,
what's his name?
You were meant to be near me. Ooh,
isn't this awful?
And I want you
this
to
is Joe Pesci.
A good word.
This is Joe Pesci.
Every day.
Now listen, he gets into it right here, I think.
Gotta get you into my mind.
Oh, man.
My ears will never be the same.
No.
But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
If you didn't think it was possible to slow down revolution,
don't you know,
this is the Brothers Four.
All right.
The only question that comes to mind is
why?
Why?
All right.
I promise we will only desecrate one more Beatles tune, or Sam Oak, you'll stop listening to
it.
Oh, yeah, get into it there. This is George Maharis.
You're gonna give me.
Now I know why I never liked George Maharis.
So I love to come home, cause when I get you
oh,
alone,
get into it, George.
You feel all right.
Oh, my.
So, I know you're so looking forward to that album.
Oh,
I know you are.
Yes.
Of course you are. Come on. Yeah. Turn that frown upside down.
I'm ready.
We don't need to
I got my happy face here. Go ahead. Here we go. I know what this is. I just wanted to hear a little bit of it. Mr. Blue Sky.
And who would that be?
ELO.
You got it.
Which is my favorite ELO song.
Oh, man,
ever.
This just don't get no better than that, I'll tell you. Okay, here comes another one. Okay. Pay attention.
Okay.
Easy peasy.
That would be Guess Who and These Eyes. Am I right?
Yes, you're right. Listen to that stereo. That's amazing. At first,
that's
I thought it's another one of those where all the tracks come in on one side, but actually, it was a stereo, real stereo. This might be a little tougher for you, but you've heard it. Thought I'd mix it up a little bit for you.
In crowd?
You got it, the in crowd.
Ramsey Lewis.
You are a good trio. Yes, man, you're just knocking it out of the ballpark today, I'm telling you.
It's got that Brian Wilson sound to it, mm-hmm. So it's got to be the Beach Boys. California Dreamin'?
California Girls, you were close enough.
I was dreaming.
Close enough. Okay. I'll give you that one.
See, right. Mamas and Papas did the other one. Oh, that's, hang on, I get this one and Space Race confused. Out of Space, Billy Preston?
Out of Space, Billy Preston. Okay. Oh, he also did a song called Will It Go Around in Circles, remember?
Yes, he did.
And, you know, he did some keyboard work for the Beatles.
He did. Like they needed someone else to play keyboards.
I think they actually wanted to, considered it maybe making him the fifth Beatle. They didn't want to do that.
That is Sugarloaf and Green-Eyed Lady.
You got it. Man, you're hot today. Oh, hit that bridge. Yeah, that was a great song. Okay, here comes another one.
Okay.
Easy one. Okay. Easy one. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, this is really easy peasy. It's taking a while to get here. Here we go.
Oh. Speaking of great songs, Cisco Kid and War.
You got it. Cisco Kid and War. It's what starts singing right there. Of course, I wouldn't give you that much.
Cisco Kid, he was a friend of mine, right?
I didn't know that you all knew each other.
Well, from a distance. That's Booker T and the MGs, and I cannot remember the name of the song.
It's not one of those titles that comes readily to mind.
Not Green Onions.
No, Green Onions was probably their biggest hit. This was almost as big. Okay. Song called Time Is Tight. I don't think I would have remembered that either, so I'm going to give you that one. Because I want you to have this album so badly. Here's an easy one.
Do it to me one more time, Captain and Tennille.
And, of course, the captain did all of the arrangements.
Yep.
Was the keyboardist. Yep. He played all the piano and organ music. Mm-hmm. I think mostly piano. But, yeah, give it to me one. Do that to me one more time.
Good. Good.
Here's an easy one. A little tougher on this one. I mixed it up pretty good, I think.
Yes, you did. Give me a little bit. All right, I'm going to guess one from out in left field. Ray Charles,
you got that part right.
What I'd say.
Man, you nailed it. What I say, Ray Charles. We got one more. Okay. Threw an extra one. This is easy.
Doors and... Just wanted to hear a little keyboard. Light My Fire?
Yeah, Light My Fire. Okay. And there's Ray going crazy on the keyboard. Man, he made their songs, I think. Listen to that.
Wow.
And he's probably playing the bass, too, on this. But I can't remember whether he did on this particular song.
And he's also gone out for coffee.
Going out for coffee, and with his feet, he's playing some of them thimbles or something. I don't know what he's playing. But anyway, so, yeah, you did pretty good. I think I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
No reason whatsoever why she would start this over again.
Well, because I like that song. Good enough.
That's all you get.
All right.
I think you actually got the album. I'm really proud of you.
Oh.
I know you'll just enjoy reading it, listening to it so much over and
re-gift.
Over again.
Yeah. Re-gift.
Re-gift. Right. Well, unfortunately, we've lost a few people, mm-hmm. and I guess it's that time when we talk about that a little bit, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Longtime Beach Boys collaborator, Billy Hench, I guess is the way you pronounce his name, a singer, songwriter, a musician in the 60s pop band Dino Martin Jr. and Desi Arnaz Jr. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was what? Dino, Desi, and Billy. And he was the Billy. Later recorded and toured for decades with the Beach Boys.
Wow.
He's died. He was 70 years old. Had numerous other contributions, including co-writing Away with Dennis Wilson. Mm-hmm. He collaborated with Warren Zevon, Joan Jett, America, and many other artists over his lengthy career. Very talented man.
Incredible. Also, American composer and lyricist Stephen Sondheim, mainly known for his stage works. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Anyone Can Whistle in 1964. Follies in 71. Little Night Music, 73. And he wrote Send in the Clowns.
How about that?
Yeah.
Do you know who Patti LuPone is?
I do, yes.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
So you obviously studied up a little bit on your Broadway. Ouch, on your Broadway.
You okay there?
I just hit my head on a rock. She probably sang more of his songs on Broadway than any other single entertainer. She is a lead singer in so many big hits on Broadway.
Absolutely.
A lot of Sondheim stuff, yeah.
Frank Sinatra, by the way, once complained about Sondheim saying, quote, "He could make me a lot happier if he had write more songs for saloon singers like me."
He was a showbiz guy. I mean, yeah. You know, he wrote stuff for the big stage in New York.
Yes, indeed.
Although I was unaware of the Send in the Clowns.
Yeah.
Although that came out of a Broadway show, didn't it? I think it might have.
It may have.
That's how that happened.
And one more, Moody Blues drummer since the foundation of the band, Graham Edge. Died at the age of 80 in Sarasota, Florida. He composed many of the songs for the group that were included on Days of Future Past, great album from 1967, In Search of the Last Chord, The Other Side of Life. Edge also had the Graham Edge Band, releasing studio albums from 74 to 77, inducted in the Rock Hall of Fame as a member of the Moody Blues back in 2018.
Well, we always hate to lose people, but that's the way it goes.
Indeed. I understand we have two great radio moments here.
I've been digging around in the old tape box.
Oh, boy. Stirring up dust again.
Stirring up dust. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I came across two things that I thought were kind of fun. Not funny, but fun and interesting.
All right.
So we'll listen to one of these right now. The reason I chose this particular one is because it has an old jingle from the early 60s. And it has the old Diamond Exchange phone number back when you didn't have all numbers. And I managed to pull this one out of somebody else's tape box many years ago and held on to it for a long time. And I'll tell you a story about it as soon as we listen to it.
I still think it's silly, an ant getting fuel oil from fuel oil and equipment.
You know, we had a grasshopper around last year, said the same thing. Funny. Haven't seen him this year.
The moral of this story is...
Call today and live the sure 10th way. Diamond 58866.
Fuel Oil and Equipment Company, distributors of Philheat, a product of Phillips Petroleum in the Roanoke area.
I'll tell you a funny story about that.
Great commercial.
So I handled APB Whiting.
Yeah.
A great company, great bunch of people. Fuel Oil and whatever else they had. They had a lot of stores, stop-in food stores. So I handled quite a few of their accounts down through the years. So I went to Bill Kirk, who was the president. Nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how would you like it if we came up with a commercial where we use your old original jingle from back in the early 60s? He says, where would you find that? We don't have that. I said, oh, but I have that. He says, really? I said, yes, I had a little tape deck, and I played it for him. Just knocked him out. He said, I can't believe we don't even have a copy of that. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll produce this. I've written some spots around, and I'll produce it. But I said, you got to pay $1,000 for the jingle. And he says, well, that's extortion. What is wrong with you? I said, no, that's called warehousing, Bill. I had to warehouse this. I'm the one that hung on to it, and now you're going to pay me for the pleasure. friend. You know what? He didn't like it a bit, but he did. He actually paid me. I think it was $1,000, something like that.
And now look what you're making for playing it during the podcast.
Nothing. Exactly. Right back to that. So thank God I was able to glean a little
Bill's
bit of money.
Even.
This thing. Now, here's another one. I think you'll get a kick out of this just because it's so corny.
All right.
So anyway, here comes Mr. Corny.
Hi, this is Wayne Newton, and it's sure going to be great to be home again in Roanoke. And I'll be appearing Saturday and Sunday, October 16th and 17th at the Civic Center Auditorium for our first big homecoming show.
Oh boy.
Now, we brought a super special show, so join us for a lot of fun. Tickets are now on sale. Tell them where, sir.
Well, at Searstown on Williamson Road. This is where the announcer comes in and tells you where to buy the tickets. Because I don't think we had a... Did we have...
No Donka Shane?
No Donka Shane.
No.
Thank you for the pain.
Daddy,
you
don't you walk so fast?
No, not that either. Now, that's about as close as you're going to get to it with me. I can tell you that, right? But wasn't it interesting?
That was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of fun to find these old things. It really is. And they still sound remarkably good.
Really
I know you're
do.
Always amazed. There's a reason there's so much oxide floating around in this room, because every time I spin this thing through a tape deck, it just, you know, that stuff is flying in all directions. But yeah, it sounded pretty good.
Oh, so, yes, indeed. Anyway. All right. We're going to put the wraps on this one?
I think we will, if it's all right with you.
Well, I hope those of you listening to this
little saran wrap, if you've got it,
will go and find some more keyboards. Because there are some great ones out there indeed. Well, we appreciate you being here for episode 32 of Two Larrys and a Mic. If you like Two Larrys and a Mic, follow us wherever you download your podcast. And be sure to share this podcast with someone just by simply clicking the share button. There's a new episode every other week. Hope you're going to join us next time for Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
I'm Larry Bly.
And bye.
Oh, the mic's making his way to Le Paris, Virginia. This is about as close as he's going to get this Edith Piaf song.
Maybe next time he can get a trip to Athens, Georgia. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening.